Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to this special edition of the Strang Report for Tuesday, July 16th. You know, with everything that's happening with President Trump and the election and the assassination attempt, you know, something is going on in the spirit. And today, my guest, Bishop Joseph Matera, is going to help us to understand the signs and symbols and the things that God is saying prophetically and how to discern the times. You don't want to miss this conversation with Bishop Joseph Matera of the Christ Covenant Coalition, who's been a respected prophetic voice in this country for many, many years. And if you agree with the kinds of things that we're covering on the Strang Report, you need to be sure to subscribe. Share this with other people. Let's get it go viral at a time that everyone seems to be more open to spiritual things. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Well, I'm glad to talk to Bishop Joseph Matera today. He's a respected prophetic voice. And with what just happened with the failed assassination attempt of Donald Trump, everyone seems to be talking about what a miracle it was. In fact, as I'm glued to the TV screen and scrolling on all the different news sites, it just seems like a lot of people are talking about prayer and God and miracles, and some people are even mentioning angelic preservation. And, you know, this often happens in a time of crisis. We remember what happened after 9/11, how everybody was, quote, religious for a few weeks. And I think we're seeing some of that. But it also gives us, those of us who believe in the supernatural, who believe in the prophetic, to bring some clarity to what's going on. And so I reached out to my longtime friend, Bishop Matera. In fact, we set up this podcast before the assassination attempt. We're going to talk about some of the flaky prophecies that came, even about Donald Trump. I want to talk about that a little bit. But I just really feel that Bishop Matera has the wisdom and the experience and the credibility to help us understand that. So I'll start by just welcoming you to the Strang Report podcast. Thank you for taking time to be on with me. And it's well known that there were prophecies. In fact, I wrote this book, God and Donald Trump, about the prophecies that happened around 2007 and up to 2016, that God was going to raise up this businessman who'd never been political to become president of the United States, and against all odds, it happened. That's what I explored in this. I did not really delve into flaky prophecies. I just sort of left them out. But it seemed that there were a few people like Kim Clement, Chuck Pierce, Lance Wallnau. Those are the ones I documented. They do have credibility. I wanted credibility. I was not doing a critique of the prophetic. I was wanting to document that the prophetic does happen. However, when Donald Trump ran in 2020, a whole lot of people jumped on the prophetic bandwagon. And especially after the election, when it was called for Joe Biden, and there was all kinds of suspicious belief that the election had somehow been stolen, there were all kinds of prophetic voices that were saying, no, God has said that Trump is going to win, and he's going to turn it over at the last minute, and Congress is going to do this and that and this and that. I personally backed off when all that started happening. And then, of course, it sort of culminated in the riot that took place at the Capitol on January 6th, 2021. Now, the other side calls it an insurrection, but an insurrection would have to have guns. It would have to have been organized. This wasn't. This was a peaceful protest to address the government on to address their grievances, which is in the Constitution, or wording to that effect. And it got out of control, and it was a small-scale riot. And I personally backed off. So let me start by asking you how to interpret that. Why do you think that some of these prophetic voices, many of whom we had never heard before, and we haven't heard from these people lately, why do you think that that happened, and help us to understand?
Yeah, well, I wrote a book called The Purpose process and power of prophetic ministry in response to that. You get that on Amazon. And so there was a lot of complicated things that were also psychological behind the scenes that could provoke those kind of prophetic responses. And one of my chapters is on why the prophets did not have 2020 vision, you know, a pun. And, you know, a lot of, unfortunately, there's a lot of legitimate prophetic voices that come out in the beginning stages, but then people jump on the bandwagon. They see the power of social media. They begin dropping prophetic words, starting to find a lot of followers. And then prophets, just like the average person in America, fall into groupthink and they see, well, this guy prophesied this, so I'm going to have to outdo him or say something similar, or I'll lose some of my followers. And so some of it was a groundswell or maybe even a popularity contest between people who purported to have prophetic voices. And so a lot of it was erroneous because it was not inspired by the Spirit of God. And, you know,
and also it preaches well, if I can interrupt.
Yeah.
In a conference or even in a church setting, someone who's a powerful preacher who can get people to respond. And, you know, a lot of us, when we're upset about things, we would like to believe, I call it wishful thinking, that God is going to part the Red Sea. God is going to call fire from heaven, like he did with Elijah, that we're going to see that. And we do believe that God does act in our day, but not necessarily in those ways, or not necessarily because we want God to do it. But in a setting like that, people respond with amen and all this kind of stuff. And it seems almost like the level goes higher and higher. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Again, there's psychological pressure, there's groupthink. We see the same thing in cycles of history. Like in the book of Jeremiah, we see God rebuking the so-called prophets who spoke things out of their own spirit that were not in his counsel. They were crying, peace, peace, when there was no peace. And only Jeremiah was standing against the majority of prophets, the same thing we see in 1 Kings 22, when Micaiah was the only prophet prophesying that Ahab would be killed in the battle. The others were prophesying that they would be victorious. So even people who are in the prophetic, I mean, Jeremiah doesn't say they weren't prophets. They were probably legitimate prophets that turned because of psychological pressure, because they didn't want to be on the outskirts, because they didn't want to be against their king or their religious political system. And they prophesied, didn't even say it was the devil, that they prophesied out of their own spirit. So some of it is psychologically driven, and it takes a mature, discerning church to know the difference between that which is psychologically and emotively driven and that which is really inspired by God. So I think we could see the same things taking place today. A lot of people who are conservatives wanted Donald Trump to win. They were prophesying that. Some were accurate, some, many, and most, obviously, if they predicted he would be reelected the first time after his first term. They lost. Obviously, they were wrong. But, you know, a lot of it was driven by the angst. They were upset, and the crowds wanted to hear those prophecies that, you know, comported with what they wanted to hear, which was that Donald Trump would be reelected. And as far as I know, only two well-known prophetic people actually admitted they were wrong, Chris Valentin and Jeremiah Johnson. And the others said crazy things like Donald Trump is reigning in heaven as president. Donald Trump really won the election. So I didn't make a mistake. And some, I won't mention their names, I don't like embarrassing people, said, you know, let's say March 6th or March 10th, you know, Hillary Clinton's going to do a coup and, you know, Joe Biden's going to be thrown out, or Donald Trump's going to be the president. I tell you, I had a dream. This is going to happen. Thus saith the Lord, as soon as I stand here. And I'm wondering, where's the fear of God with some of these people? They're saying, thus saith the Lord. and nothing happens, and I'm still waiting for an apology, and they're still prophesying in public. So I can't answer for, but I do believe that a lot of this was psychologically driven to appeal to the masses of people that were their followers. And unfortunately, Stephen, you know this as well as I do, some of it is economically driven. They get a lot of offerings. They get rich people who want to vote a certain way that'll support them. So some of it could be economics.
You know, this is a bigger issue that's probably a subject for another day, but how does the body of Christ police this? Because there is no central authority like in the Catholic Church. In fact, we don't really want that kind of ecclesiastical hierarchy. We have freedom of religion in our country, and with a few things, they can't do treason or hurt people economically, where I guess there could be lawsuits. Other than that, the government pretty much stays out of the way, and we want the government to. But I think that we've got to hold up a standard. In fact, in 2021, not long after this happened, you put together a prophetic standard statement, which I really admired you for doing that, and you got a lot of leaders to sign on to it. And, you know, I want to move on and talk about what's happened with Donald Trump. You know, as I mentioned, I did write this book, and what Kim Clement in particular, he was probably the clearest, and people can go on YouTube and put in Kim Clement, C-L-E-M-E-N-T, and Trump prophecy, and you will find there are two videos in particular that have been viewed well over a million times, and hear for yourself. He said that Donald Trump would be elected twice. He did not say twice in a row. Now, everyone assumed it'd be two times in a row because that's a normal pattern, although we had one president, was it Grover Cleveland? I'm trying to remember my history lessons from high school, who was in and then out and then came back in again. And the Constitution does allow that even with the two-term limits. But it looked like Donald Trump was just out. It looked like the other side had kind of won. And, you know, if Donald Trump had just retired and gone off to play golf at Bedminster or Mar-a-Lago, none of these attacks would have happened against him. But these lawsuits, these frivolous lawsuits, which the Supreme Court has ruled on some, and then yesterday, the day before we're doing this, the 15th of July, the court threw out the lawsuit having to do with documents being at Mar-a-Lago. Remember, they raided it like you was a mafia don. Meanwhile, Joe Biden had kept all kinds of documents when he was a senator and then vice president in his home over a longer period of time. They never raided the home like that. And they didn't prosecute him. You know, it's like Donald Trump has been he's been singled out for all of these things, and now an assassination attempt. Now, we don't know the details on that. At this point, we have to just blame this lone shooter. But, you know, it's a miracle that that guy was a bad shot, because the experts are saying that at that range with that gun, it should have been pretty easy to have, you know, hit him. So help me to understand what you think God is saying and doing, and what you think is going to happen now with Donald Trump. I mean, this week is the Republican National Convention. He's a big hero. A lot of people that maybe had listened to MSNBC one time too many, where, you know, they were, you know, criticizing him for this and that and this and that. You know, after a while, you know, they call that gaslighting, where you hear the wrong thing so much that you start believing it and believing that somehow you're wrong. I think a lot of those people are seeing what's really going on, and they're coming, you know, they're backing him now. What do you think is going to happen, and where do you think God is in all this?
Okay, well, let me just say this. To be honest, I always try to be an integrous person. I didn't want Donald Trump to be the nominee the first or second time, and I was hoping somebody else would because of his flawed character. That being said, you can't deny that God had to be with him the other day, because if he had just turned a half an inch, he would have been dead. His brains would have been blown out. I also believe that God does things symbolically. And so supposedly before that rally, there was an entangled flag that actually looked from a distance like it was in the shape of an angel, almost like an angel or maybe a dove. And it almost looked like a sign that God was protecting those who, you know, came, or his hand was there. And of course, one person died, and our condolences go out to that family. And that's nothing to sneer at. That was a horrible tragedy, even with Donald Trump's survival. But the fact that he survived, that it only grazed his ear, has to be a miracle. I don't care if that happened to you or me or anybody. We would say, hey, man, we were dead. So you could almost say symbolically, and God does things symbolically, there was a death and a resurrection. He was grazed, hit in the head. He ducked down. He was out of sight. Then he came up. And we see God doing a lot of things in symbols. I mean, historically, I believe everything is based on the Imago Dei. We're made in his image. And his story becomes all of our stories in more ways than one. Joseph Campbell, the philosopher, actually wrote a book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And he talked about how there's common things in every religion or myth. And one of those common things is that there is a crisis with a hero, sometimes a death, and then a resurrection. And so we see how even in the life, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and not an accident, history is made before and after Christ. And we look at that marker after his birth as our way of gauging our calendars and history, that in many ways, our story could only be understood in his story. And so somehow or another, there was a symbolic death and a symbolic resurrection. Not that Donald Trump is Jesus or the Messiah, of course not, but it almost was pointing to the gospel and pointing to the fact that God's hand is upon this country, this nation, and maybe as a sign to the unbelieving world that they need to repent, they need to believe, that only God could have protected this man. In the natural, when you look at what happened and he comes up, blood coming down his face, Finch clenched with the American flag in the background, you couldn't make this stuff up. I mean, that's got to be one of the most iconic pictures in history, put in the top three or five in American history. And I said to a lot of my friends, I think I even tweeted this, that I think he just secured the election. I mean, because you contrast that picture of strength with the feeble president who in the past few weeks was fighting for his own survival. And this guy could hardly find his way to the podium, has to be helped off the podium after, you know, a debacle of many sorts in many press conferences, and especially the debate. Obama had to help him off once after a press conference. And you see that with the strength of Donald Trump arising after almost being killed. I mean, people want a strong leader. And I think that pushed a lot of independents his way. I don't think it would push any of the staunch Democrats his way. Maybe I'm wrong, but definitely independents or people that weren't committed. And more people are going to come out now in favor of him. So, yeah, I mean, I think it was a very telling thing. Was it prophetic? I don't know. Did someone really prophesy that? I don't know. In terms of the nature of the prophetic, I am very concerned because in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so when people prophesy regarding elections without it either indirectly or directly pointing to the cross, the gospel, and the advance of the kingdom, I would say that that doesn't fit the criteria of a real biblical prophecy. Someone could argue, well, in the book of Isaiah, especially the last few chapters of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is prophesying about different nations, Babylon and Persia and all these nations. And so you could argue that we could prophesy about politics. But that was talking about the Goyim, the Gentile nations that God promised Abraham would all come into the fold. He said, in you, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And that was pointing towards how God's hand is on all nations. And there would come a time when, in Psalm 2, as it's prophesied, that the Son of God would say, all the nations are mine. He would claim all the nations as his inheritance. And so there was even some kind of kingdom agenda in those prophecies about nations. And so I'm concerned about prophecies that aren't ultimately pointing to Christ, pointing to the advancement of the kingdom. Some of it could be just, like I said before, politically driven or psychologically driven. And some prophecies, quite frankly, could even be a form of divination. You know, I don't know the lifestyle of some of these people, and I can't vouch for all of these people. You know, so you know, we don't understand the spirit world, and some people can get so spiritual, maybe they're getting in the wrong spirit and are involved and engaged in fortune telling, especially the ones that are opportunists.
Well, I think this is so important, and your insight is so important. I'll just add to it before I ask you to pray to wrap up this short podcast, that I believe that sometimes people are so fervent in what they believe, in a good way, they really want something to happen, and so it becomes wishful thinking. And it's kind of like, if I were God, I would make this happen. And so certainly God is going to make this happen. Some of it can be explained that way, but I think your insight is very important. We could talk about this a lot, and over the weeks coming up to the election, we will be dealing with some of these kinds of things, trying to understand where God is in all this. One of the things in this book, God and Donald Trump, and people can probably, the easiest way is just pick it up on Amazon, does a deep dive into this question. Does God use imperfect leaders? Because you had referred to that about Donald Trump before. And I'll admit that there was a time, I was never a Trumper, but I was a Ted Cruz guy initially, because I knew we needed someone tough. We needed someone tough, and Ted Cruz is tough. Of course, time has proven that Donald Trump is 10 times, maybe 100 times tougher than Ted Cruz. I don't think, Bishop Matera, that anybody else could have put up with what he's put up with. Most people would have just crumbled and retired from the scene and said it's not worth it. But he is tough. I believe that God has raised him up in imperfections at all. And aren't we glad that God uses imperfect people, because that means that he can use you and me. Yes, so as we wrap this up, I want you to tell us and tell my viewers how they can connect with your ministry after watching the podcast. And people should be sure to share this with others who you know want spiritual insight into what's happening. So how can they get hold of you? And then I want you to tell us how we should be praying. How should the body of Christ be praying? What should we do? And then wrap up with a prayer, and we'll end the podcast that way.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Well, they could connect with me by going to my website. It's just my name, Joseph Matera, with two T's, MATTERA.org. There are 16 books. There are thousands of articles. By the way, I have a weekly article on charisma called The Pulse. So you could actually see me on Charisma on their online magazine. And Amazon lists all the books, and there's another book coming out in another month. So that's one way to connect with me. And I'm thrilled to be able to be on this podcast, thrilled to be able to share with the viewers of the Strang Report. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to pray. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this country. We know that you had your hand on this nation, as you do all nations, when you said that all the nations will be your inheritance. And so, Father, we pray that the redemptive purpose of the United States of America would not be thwarted. We pray that you would use not only Donald Trump, but you would use the body of Christ. You'd use all of us to be able to stand in the place we're supposed to stand, that we would pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we would pray above all that your kingdom would come. And we know that your kingdom isn't necessarily the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Independent Party. Your kingdom is not of this world. And so we pray that the party that best represents and replicates principles of your kingdom, and that party that would best be able to fulfill the assignment of that which you have for the United States, would be elected, that they would be godly people elected, and people who would be elected, whether they're saved or not, that would be those that you would providentially use to perpetuate the purpose of your kingdom. And so, Lord, we give you the praise and glory. We know you're not done with this country. We know the best is yet to come. If the church would humble themselves, seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, we believe you will heal our land. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you agree with this podcast and if what Bishop Matera resonated with you, share it with others. Put it on social media. Email it to friends. And be sure to leave your comments. I enjoy reading them. And if you're interested in finding out more about the prophecies about Donald Trump, this was written in 2017, but it's still valid. There's a lot of good information. In future editions of the Strang Report, I'll be doing a deep dive into some of the things that I learned about Donald Trump that are still valid today. You can get this book many different places. It's probably easiest on Amazon.com. Thank you for watching the Strang Report. I'm doing more live editions in addition to being on every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Until next time, God bless you.